everybody. Thanks for joining me on this wonderful Monday, hot Monday morning. Boy, we're seeing temperatures here in Utah that, being a driver, being a delivery person out in the desert, basically, out in Price and where I go, it's just like sometimes the heat can just get to you. So I just have to pull over sometimes because none of the trucks we have air conditioning, and they wouldn't do any good anyway because the doors are always open. So the only air you get flowing is when you're driving. So you have to pack plenty of water with you, cold water. And luckily, I have a lot of good people that I deliver to that are always offering me ice-cold bottles of water. So that's really good. But, man, it has been scorching hot over the weekend. It reached in the hundreds again. I think Saturday was actually in the high 90s, but felt just smoking hot. And we're still kind of waiting on UPS to decide whether they're going to strike or not. I guess they're still kind of work out things with their part-time employees and how they're getting paid and things like that. I guess that's the only sticking point right now. I guess they got air conditioning and in a lot of the trucks moving forward. I don't know what they can do to retrofit what they have now, but I guess that was one of the points, and money, I guess, is always a big thing. But the part-time employees was a big stickler for the union to negotiate with UPS. So hopefully that's supposed to be by the end of the month, and we won't see. I hate to see them strike because I don't like to see anybody out of a job for a period of time. You know, how long, if they go out on strike, how long are they going to be out on strike? But, you know, that just kills those households and the money that they would be making anyway. And then all of a sudden, and at the same time, we're going to see a massive increase in the number of deliveries and boxes that we're carrying as well. So not really looking forward to that because we've been at peak for a while. We haven't even really missed a beat since Christmas, and it's just been so busy. And we haven't even got back to school yet, and the fall, and so. But you know what? The way I look at it, I got job security, I tell this to my delivery people all the time. I says, "Hey, you keep ordering, man, because if you order, I have a job." And they just kind of like laugh, but it's very, very true that they. As long as they're ordering, man, I'm out there delivering the boxes that they order. So keep it up. Even in the temperature. We'll survive. We get home, take a nice cold shower, and lay out and turn down the air conditioning a little bit so it cools off the house and just relax and let the day go by and so you can start another day. But I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for having one and health and strength that allows me to do the job. It's keeps me active, keeps my weight off, and being as old as I am, I need all the activity and energy that I can get. So just trying to eat right and trying to eat the right foods and drink plenty of water and take my vitamins and my medications, and hopefully I'll be around for a long time. But hey, there's been a lot going on in the world, as you probably know, and one of those things I wanted to talk to you about was this. What's this? Jason. Hold on for a minute. Let me make sure I get the guy's name right. And that's not it. Hold on for a minute. Boop 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 boop. Boo. There we go. Jason. This Aldean. I don't know if you've heard about this country music star Jason Aldean, who made a video, a music recording of his song 6 months ago. It's that try that in a small town, and you know, I guess it's been out for several months and never reached number one status. But because of all the kickback and all the people bringing a lot of attention to, especially on the left, you know, calling it QAnon and reaching down in their bags of goodies to sit there and try to, you know, make this. So I listened to it and I looked at the lyrics and. I don't get it. I don't understand why these people want to focus on the negative of everything that goes on in this country, but they choose to do so. And you know, hey, have at it. You know, if that's what makes you happy, you know, go for it, you know. But I don't see it. I didn't hear it in the music. You know, from what I saw, I guess he grew up in a relatively small town. I didn't grow up in a small town. I mean, I grew up in a bedroom community in Fairfield, Ohio. And so there was no major industry there. You know, it's not like New York or, you know, some other big city or anything. Cincinnati was the closest one to us, and that was an hour away. But it wasn't a town of 1,000 people or 300 people or something like that. But the song, from what I gathered, is he was talking about all the problems in the world, you know, the carjackings and so on, and everything that's happening in the world today, and buildings being burnt down and things like that. You would never have that in a small town, because small town usually respects each other. The citizens of a small town look out after each other, and that's what this was about, you know. But I guess when you have these people that always want to look at the dark side of things and always want to look at some conspiracy theory and everything that they read and everything that they read and watch, and they, you know, that's their life, and that's a sad life to be in. But song was great. But anyway, because of all the some of the pushback that they've been getting, the song is actually showing what number one on the U.S. iTunes. Now, I've never heard of Jason Aldean before. I'm not a big country music star, not star, but a country music listener. I like a few things here and there. So I wouldn't even have really known who this guy was unless it was brought to my attention by news that these people are after him and trying to cancel him. And I guess they had some effect on it. Country music TV, television, CMT canceled him and canceled his video and stuff like that, and barred him from running. And I guess they've gotten some flack by other country music stars who play on their format, and told CMT that if you don't put Jason's music back up, then you can't play any of my music. And I've been getting a lot of flack. So anyway, again, it's one of those attempts to cancel somebody, and they'll go after you with everything that they've got to sit there and try to cancel somebody because they believe that, you know, some kind of radical idea, or you're talking about conspiracy theories that they tell, you know, that they tell the people that MAGA people have and Republicans and conservatives have about certain things. And it was just, I read some of the stories about how they were really reaching deep for what they're calling QAnon comparisons and things like that. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, it's backfired again. And I'm hoping I haven't read anything more whether CMT has reinstated him or not. I hope that they do, because they're just going down the path of, you know, Bud Light and Target and all these companies that are pushing this agenda, I like to think the critical race theory thing, not CRT, but the ESG and the CEO, all this stuff is just, you know, made up over the last two or three years to give corporations the idea, and basically just posturing themselves in front of these people who are pushing this ideology, just so they, I guess, so these people stay off their backs. So these hires that they've done and these different corporations to, you know, look at diversity and equity and inclusion and all that stuff, and it's starting to backfire a little bit. U.S. corporations are starting to double think these positions that they, you know, that they have created because of all this diversity and equity and stuff. And many of those jobs now, according to an article that I read here recently, was these corporations are starting to look at this and saying, maybe we don't need this, or maybe these ideas and these these principles are kind of like more, they're more detrimental to our business and running our business than what is good. And what you're seeing is you're seeing a lot of these positions being eliminated. So those people are losing their jobs. And then if the corporations are, if it's true about what they're saying, other corporations aren't going to be creating new diversity jobs and positions, and those people are going to have a hard time finding places to go work, especially the good big corporations. Now, that was kind of good news to me, because this is what is needed. You start to see the truth of this stuff come out after a period of time. I understand, you know, like people want to push all these conspiracy ideas and things like that. And when these things first start, you know, it's all good. But then, like you said, you just kind of give it a few months. You know, in this case, it's a couple, you know, about a year now, and you start seeing the downfall or the failure of these positions and these ideologies that have taken over corporations, and they're starting to see that, hey, this isn't necessarily good, and it doesn't represent our constituents, that doesn't represent our brand, it doesn't represent the people that we were trying to sell, like in Bush's Bud Light's case, it doesn't represent the buyer of Bud Light, and or let's, you know, or we are going to discriminate and we are going to alienate, you know, families because we want to make sure that we have tuck-friendly bathing suits that are right out in front, right in people's faces when they walk in. Just to appease a small percentage of people, a very, very small percentage of people who have big mouths and like to make a lot of noise and threaten people. And I've said this all along, if corporations just stand up and say, hey, we're not going to take this, we have a fiduciary responsibility to our people who invest in our business to give them a return, you know, and when we are losing, you know, 30%, you know, 32% of our value, then we're not really making a return on our investment, and people who are going to invest in us aren't going to invest in us anymore. So I think they're starting to wake up to the fact that maybe, you know, they're not to the degree that they're doing this and pushing this ideology. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I really believe that people need to be hired for a position based on their skill level and merit and how long they've, you know, what they bring to the table and what they can produce. And a lot of times these corporations have been hiring people because of their sex, because of their age, because of their color of their skin, and those people, and I'm not knocking the people, they're just not qualified to do the job, and they're just way over their head. It's just, you know, it's the same thing with colleges. You'd allow people in that shouldn't be in school, and you're denying people who could get in because of their scores. And then we find, and this is statistical, this is facts and data behind all this in schools, that you find that these people, they don't succeed. They end up dropping out because they can't compete. And what good does that do those people? If you get into Harvard, okay, great, Harvard. You need to graduate from Harvard, right? You need a degree from Harvard. You don't need to go to school and last, you know, a semester and drop out because you can't deal with it. You can't keep up with those who are more skilled and are there because they've earned it. There's nothing wrong with going to another college and getting a degree. A degree is a degree. And you can take that degree and move forward and be successful in it. It doesn't matter. Not unless you want to be a doctor or an attorney or something like that. And spend, you know, you want to spend $200,000 or $300,000, $400,000 on education and come out and not be able to find a job. You know, go for it. But you're not even gonna get out of school because you're not gonna make it through because you can't compete. And I think that's what these corporations are finding. That they've hired these people out of pressure from the left and from these organizations. They're hiring people that aren't qualified. Those people are making recommendations that are not beneficial to the corporation itself nor to its investors. And at some point, people are not going to invest. People are going to start suing you. And that's what I think people ought to do. They have a fiduciary responsibility first to as a return on their investments. People invest. You have a responsibility to return and look at things that are going to return a person's investment, or they won't invest in you. And all of this equity and inclusion and ESG and all this stuff that's been going on over the last couple of years has become very popular is just not working. It won't work because you can't hire people based on color of their skin or their sexual orientation. It just doesn't work. Not a collusion. It's not a theory. It's facts, and we're starting to see it now. I just, you know, I'm just surprised that CMT that they pulled this, you know, and they're going down that same road. I'm really surprised that they, you know, that they listened to it's just a couple of people. I just read a couple of articles who are complaining, and they're just a couple of people who are complaining about it. And it's like, since when? I mean, and what happens now? This Jason's, his songs are skyrocketed to number one, you know, on iTunes, and it's incredible. And then you got other people who are threatening to telling people, well, don't play my music, CMT, because if you're going to do this to him, then you could do it to me. And I support this guy, and there's nothing wrong with the song that he sang, especially when they won't say anything about, you know, the lyrics and rap music and things like that, which is 1,000 times more degrading and terroristic, if you want to say terroristic, or just downright disgusting in the lyrics that they sing and that they put out there. You know, Cardi B, you know, over the last year with her WAP and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, like you won't complain about that. And you'll sit there and say that she's like a, you know, a rap goddess, and it's, you know, you'll put all kinds of titles on her and give her all these different titles, that she's speaking for the American people, that she's a, you know, that she's speaking the truth and all this stuff. And it's like, give me a break. You know, you're talking about your ass, you're talking about your vagina, and you're talking about sex, and that's what sells, and that's what you do. And you're not a leader in this country, far from it, you know. And anyway, that's all I got to say on that. I'm just glad that the tables are turning on this whole corporation. I'm hoping that they're learning a lesson, because if they don't, we're in a bad position. And I really hope that we're starting to see a change, and I really believe we're starting to see a reversal on a lot of this stuff, and it needs to take place. It has to take place. We just can't sit around and let this kind of ideology and these kind of non-truths intrude on our lives and intrude on the lives of our families and our marriages, on our faith, on our freedoms that we have in this country. Because if we do, we're going to allow those freedoms to dissipate, and we won't have them anymore. Because once you give somebody authority to tell you what you can say and what you can think and how you express your ideas and stuff like that, you know, then it's got to be true for everybody. It can't be one side or the other. It can't be We only cancel conservatives, but Democrats and the left are okay. They can say anything that they want, but it can't be lopsided and one-sided. It has to be equal, and it's not equal when you give somebody power. And just remember, when you give somebody power to tell you to think a certain way, one of these times they're going to tell you that you can't, and what are you going to do then? It's going to turn on you at some point. These people will turn on you when you give those people. And so who are you going to give it to? You going to give it to the government? No, we've seen what the government does with the power, okay? We've already seen that. We've already seen the government being banned from talking to social media because they've been using the power of the government and the FBI and the DOJ and talking to social media platforms about disseminating information, taking down information that they shouldn't be taking down. And, you know, you've had a judge that ordered that not to take place, that they, that the government has overextended its power. It's not in the Constitution to do that. And but if you give them the power to do that, guess what? They're going to do it. And you're going to be on the end of a decision that you're not going to like. And at some point, and then what are you going to do? And then once you give it to them, they're never going to give it back. That's one thing you can count on 100%, is that if you allow them to make these decisions, they'll always take that. They'll never give it back once it's given. And if anything that we've learned over the last 3 years is that, don't give the government power to do anything except what is constitutionally mandated to do so. Don't give them any more power to do so. We've already allowed that to happen, and we can't allow it to happen anymore. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to any of this. It's this censorship hearing that they had on Capitol Hill the other day, and they had Robert F. Kennedy on there, and you had some of the Democrats. This is kind of hilarious. They're trying to censor this guy and trying to keep shut him up. And listen, Robert Kennedy has some. Well, he has a lot of views. He's number one. He's a Democrat, no matter what you look at it. So he's got some policy and ideas that I don't necessarily agree with. And he's over the years he's made some statements that could be construed one way or the other that don't necessarily agree with all he says. And I don't agree with the Democratic platform, which he supports. But this guy is, over the last year or so, is starting to make a lot of sense, and he seems to come to the table with a lot of data and factual information. And I've listened to him on different platforms, like Joe Rogan, and I think he was on with Megyn Kelly one time. And both of these interviewers are really good interview, and they ask him some really hard hitting questions, and they're not afraid to ask him like balls to the wall kind of kind of questions. They don't care who he is, and he stands his ground, and he believes in these things, and I know how he is, and I'm not saying I'm supporting him in any way, but I support his ability to be able to say the things that he wants to say. And it's just hilarious to me that that these Democrats are trying to quiet him, to censor him. And I know why, because he's running against Biden. And they don't want anybody, they don't want anybody running against him, but against President Biden. So they're going to do everything they can to demolish this guy and try to tear him down. But he's not standing for it, and I really admire that in a leader, who isn't beholden to the direction that the party is going. I'm pretty sure that he just doesn't agree with that. But here's just a little clip, of his response that I thought was interesting. Listen to this.
Find this letter who believes I'm anti-Semitic. This toxic polarization that is destroying our country today. And how do we deal with that? We are more, this kind of division is more dangerous for our country than any time since the American Civil War. And how do we deal with that? How are we going to, every Democrat on this committee believes that we need to end that polarization. Do you think you can do that by censoring people? I'm telling you, you cannot.
Yeah, see, he's right at that. You can't. The way you have free speech is you allow people to have more speech. That's what you do, okay? And then let people decide. You cannot just shut people down because you don't believe or understand or because they have an ideology, okay? That is what I love about my country. I don't live in Britain. I don't live in any of the Arab nations and stuff like that. But I guarantee you, some of these nations, you just don't have China, all these communist parties. You don't have the ability to say what you think and that you feel. And that's a and that's where we're, that's where we're, that's the direction that we're taking here. I don't need to agree with Kennedy's points of views on everything that he believes in or that he spouts. Okay, he has a lot of data to back up what he's saying, and that's good. I like to listen to data. I like to hear data, and it's convincing some of it. And I know that he's in some points of, like, on vaccines. And I know he's got a rap for, you know, about vaccines and, you know, vaccines causing autism and things like that, and the COVID virus being directed, genetically directed towards different skin colors and races and things like that. This guy, from what I've been able to determine so far, is that he doesn't talk about something unless he has studied it out and he has the data to back it up. And to my knowledge, I haven't heard anyone yet contradict what he is saying. I haven't heard any debates with this guy. I mean, I know that, like I said, Joe Rogan, I know that he's offered to have a debate with, I guess, this one guy who's a vaxxer dude. I can't remember what his name is, but still nothing happening. And Kennedy welcomes the opportunity to debate anybody that they want to debate. You better come with your data, and you better come with more than just feelings, or, you know, just, You better come prepared, because this guy is not, well, he is not a, he's not a bozo when it comes to this stuff, you know. He's got some ideas, and that's okay, and I'll listen to them, and I'll weigh it out. I'll do what the normal person does. I'll reason, I'll use my intellect, each and every one of us has, God given to us to be able to think and to reason and to apply our common sense. You know, in many cases, pray about the things that are going on in the world, and you know, ask for guidance and direction that way. But it's just, a lot of this stuff comes down to common sense. I admire him for that. And I really believe that the Democratic Party needs somebody like this. We don't need another 4 years of Joe Biden, that's for sure. And all the corruption that's going on there. I mean, come on. You want to talk about corruption? I mean, real, honest corruption. The Biden family is by far more corrupt than what they have been accusing Donald Trump of being. Listen, I know Donald Trump is not an angel by any means, okay? People want to sit there and say, well, you know, you like Donald Trump. Well, you know what? I like Donald Trump because I like his policies, and I like when he was president that the country was safer. We didn't have any wars. Everybody, more people were working than ever before in American history. Our foreign policy was strong. Our military was strong. Yes, he did some. Yes, he spent money to, you know, to accomplish a lot of what he wanted to accomplish. There's things that he didn't accomplish. But to tell you the truth, I would venture to say that I would challenge any president who has been president to get accomplished what Donald Trump accomplished in 4 years with all the pressure that he was under from the time that he, you know, since he was standing on that escalator coming down and you know, announcing his nomination for president of the United States and was given no chance at all. I'll challenge any president to withstand what Trump has gone through. And listen, I don't support everything that Trump does. I think he's a narcissistic, you know, I don't think that he's owed anything. I don't think Trump is owed another, you know, 4 years of I mean, there's a lot of people that believe that. I don't believe that. He got beat. How he got beat, the votes are there. You lost. That's the way it is. Forget it. Move on. And then tell me about your policies. That's the truth of it. But I'm not going to vote for somebody just because I think that they're owed another 4 years in the office. I, you know, that it was stolen from him or taken away from him and unduly or something like that. You know, just fix the problems that we identified with the last, with the 2020 election, and then go out and campaign and earn the votes again. And that's what's gonna, that's what will turn America. That's what will change the face of American government. And hopefully this time we can start really draining the swamp and get rid of all the people. And one of the things I think that Trump didn't do enough of, and maybe it's because he's just naive and he's never been the president of the United States, and he's not a government, he's not a political guy. I guess he learned this lesson, and I hope he did, that that you really don't have a lot of friends in the bureaucracy there that might pretend to be your friend and depend and pretend to be sided with you, but deep in the recesses of these bureaucracies are buried some very, very bad ideologies and stuff like that. And I think that he found that out and that turned on him. And we're aware of some of a lot of the falsehoods that took place. Now, I'm not saying that he's, you know, an angel by any means. But we'll see with all these other indictments and stuff like that what's going on. So I'm still, you know, I haven't decided who I'm voting for. We're still, 15 months out. I still haven't decided. I know one thing. I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. And I know a lot of people aren't going to vote for Joe Biden. I know a lot of Democrats that aren't going to vote for Joe Biden because they think he's doing a lousy job. And the more and more these allegations about his corruption with Ukraine and Russia and China comes forward, and these shell companies that are being slowly made available, and the information in those shell companies coming forth, we're starting to see a lot of this lifelong type of selling his name and selling his influence to foreign entities, which is not a good thing. And we don't need that in our government. And it needs to be changed. And I hope that whoever becomes president of the United States has the balls to be able to do that, to change that and say, "Up, oh, time to clean house." And how you do that and who you put in place, that's a tough measure. Do you have to measure like who do I put in, who do I replace these people with? You know, nonpartisan people, that these bureaucracies, the FBI and the DOJ, are supposed to be nonpartisan. They're not supposed to be following some political ideology. They're supposed to be nonpartisan. Law is the law, whether you're president of the United States or some Jimmy John down in South Alabama or somewhere, whatever, or in California. The law is the law, and it applies to everybody equally. And we don't have that now. We have a two-tiered system. And it's not right, and it's not good, and we need to get rid of the people that believe in that kind of system and replace them with people that are going to be not partial to a political leaning or political beliefs. That's a big obstacle to overcome, because how are you going to do that? I mean, you're going to have to do a lot of vetting. You know, it's kind of funny. My son is working back east. He's in security. He's in security, online security. And he's waiting on another clearance from the government. He's been waiting for months since he graduated from school. Still hasn't gotten his second. He's already got one clearance. He's got another one that'll allow him to do other kind of work within the government, and so he really can't do anything until he gets out of it. But they've been months and months and months of trying to work on his clearance. I'm not sure why and everything that's involved with that. I'm really sure that it's thorough, but the vetting process for these people that work in these bureaucracies, especially when they have extreme, immense power, that vetting process needs to be something that is second to none. All I can say is right now I am so happy that Merrick Garland isn't one of our justices of the United States Supreme Court. I'm so happy now seeing his true colors, and the way that he has wielded the DOJ against Christians and parents, and he has not applied the law equally as he should. And I'm so glad that he is not one of our justices of the United States Supreme Court. I'm so happy, because he would have been, you would see this in his decisions. And that is not a good thing. We need people who are constitutionalists, who are going to look at the Constitution and interpret the Constitution based on what is written there, not their own political views. Now, I understand they all have their political views, but I think many of them try to keep those ideologies aloof from their decision-making process. Some don't, and they won't, and that's why they're put in place. And that's why, the left wants to pack the courts, add, justices to it, until they get a number, which I don't know what that number is. They say 9, they 11 or 15 or whatever they want to do. I can't remember what it is. Anyway, but what are you going to do? You're going to continue to stack it, depending on who's president of the United States? You're going to say, hey, we're going to add 3 more, justices, and we're going to add, conservative justices or left-leaning justices, depending on who's president of the United States? And what are we going to have, 53... justices, making decisions on stuff. It's going to change every time we change in 4 years. So it doesn't make any sense. And what we need, we need a government that's impartial and looks after the American people, keeps our freedoms intact, our inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and basically staying our ways and let us be successful, and not interfere with our lives. Because the more you interfere, the more you demand, the more you practice authoritarianism, the more people are going to rebel against you because they don't want that. There's a scripture that's in our Doctrine and Covenants, which are basically the laws of the church and how the church is governed, basically. And there's a section in there that talks about the priesthood, and it talks about the power and authority that is given to man. And in there it says that it is the nature and disposition of almost all men that as soon as they get a little bit of authority, they immediately begin to exercise unrighteous dominion over those that they are supposed to be leading. And it says when a person does that, then amen to the priesthood or power of that individual. And I think that is true. I think power corrupts, absolutely. And if you're not careful with the power that you're given, and there's not checks and balances for that power, then people have people take it to exercise unrighteous dominion over other people. And I believe that's what we're seeing in our world today, in our government today, in our nation, and it needs to be corrected. It needs to be corrected. Also, just to close up here, I know it's a little bit longer than I normally go, but just a couple more minutes. I don't know if you've had a chance to see this movie, Sounds of Freedom, yet. I went this weekend. I got done with work early, so I was able to get home, showered, and rest a little bit, and then I went to a little bit later time. First of all, I'm going there, and all these people, all these men and women who are dressed up like Barbies and Kens. I forgot that the movie was coming out. I forgot that Barbie movie was coming out. I'm not going to go see it because it just doesn't interest me. But, they're all dressed up like these different Barbie characters and Ken characters and stuff. I thought it was kind of funny. So, that was the big buzz there at the theater at the time. And so I went in and I watched this theater. It was in a smaller theater. And I have to say that that I haven't been really, I mean, I've been entertained by movies. I just went and saw Mission Impossible. It's really entertaining and just excitement all the time. The feeling that I had when I left the theater, and you could tell that the people who are in the theater with you, it's kind of cool because at the end of the at the end of the movie, there's a little timer at the bottom that says there's a special message, and then the actor comes on and talks about sex trafficking, and it's a multi-billion-dollar industry annually, and then we're not making this movie for any kind of political reasons. It's just you should be concerned about child sex trafficking, and to do something about it, share this link and make you know, and invite people to come and watch this movie, because it'll change your heart, change the way you think. And I had to admit, I've always known that it takes place, and it's growing, and you're hearing the numbers of what's going on in the world, around the world, and in our country, and it's just so it's an atrocity that just needs to be looked at and by our government. And I walked out of there, and everybody that was walking out of there, and it was a complete difference between those who were just got done with the Barbie movie and stuff. They're all laughing, and you know, they're all, you know, goofing off and stuff like that. It was very sobering to watch that movie. And it was just a true story. It was just a story of an agent who saved the life of a little boy and then dedicated his life to the point where he was going to gave up his job to go look for this little boy's and this father's daughter. And actually had to go down in the jungles, I think it was South America somewhere. I can't remember where it was. I can't remember where this place was, but risk his life and the people that worked with him risking their lives to find, number one, find this young girl that could be anywhere in the world, basically. But through, you know, investigation, found that, you know, they found out that this, and that they found out where she was, and they targeted this group of traffickers and stuff like that, and found this little girl. And risked his life to do that, and brought him back to her brother and her father, and it was just an amazing story. And then if you haven't seen it, if you want a feel good movie, you want something that's really means something in the world today, and you're just not looking for entertainment, it was entertaining, but I didn't walk away from there, you know, like super duper entertained. I walked away from there with a reverence of what is going on in our country, and this issue of child sex trafficking is a very, very volatile and very serious condition that we have in this world, and it's getting worse and worse, and we need to fight it. I'm glad to see that it's being as successful as it is. I don't know why, after watching the movie, why anyone would write anything negative about this movie. I mean, I think this movie cost like $14 million to make, and I read somewhere this last week that it was on target to make over $100 million, and still playing in smaller theaters, not playing in everyone's, getting great reviews. And it's disheartening that you have to have people that, for some reason, they have to pull out the negatives and make comparisons and bring up race and you know, bigotry and things like that. And I just don't understand it. And I just, these people that bring these things up are just, I don't, they're just mental, because that's the only thing I can think. They look and see something racist, bigoted, transphobic in everything that they read, and that's their life, and that's what they see, and in everything that they read, that's their life. And I feel sorry for them. You need a life, because this movie, if you haven't seen it, go see it. If you've seen it, send a ticket to a friend. You know, buy a ticket for somebody else. There's people that can't afford them, and they have people that are what they call it, sharing it forward, so they're buying tickets for other people that are sitting in a coffer someplace, and people can take advantage and get those tickets if they can't afford to go to watch the movie. So do so, because it's really, really a movie that will cause you to think and really helps you to reflect on what's really important in this world. Like they say in there, God's children aren't for sale. And I'd like to see and like to hear more stories of these children being saved and articles being written about, you know, families and daughters and sons who have been saved and brought back to their families, to their fathers, to their mothers, to their parents. And that would be a great thing to see more and more of that. Anyway, with that note, I hope you guys have a good week. I'll be back on Thursday with another episode. Be safe out there. The world is a very confusing place, so please pay attention to your conscience. Pay attention to your common sense. Don't believe everything that you see and hear the first time around. Give it some time. Let news and the process take place before you make decisions on things. And once you get the truth, hang tight, do what's right, stand for what's true, stand for the facts, and hope you have a good week. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.